Hey, good evening. Please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay. All right, this evening is our work study dedicated to a budget presentation. So after we've gone through the presentation, we've had an opportunity to ask our questions. We will open it up to those who are tuning in, and we will accept questions related to budget issues only. All right? And at this point, I'll turn it over to Mrs. Rosenstein.
Yes, I'd like to introduce our new business official, our assistant superintendent this evening, who is going to be taking us through budget presentation number one. There will be a budget presentation at each upcoming meeting that we have from now through adoption as we lead up to the budget vote in May. So without further ado, Deirdre, thank you.
Thank you, Mrs. Rodney. Okay, welcome to the first budget presentation of the 22-23 budget season. I prepared a PowerPoint which I'm sharing on screen, and I've laid out a few objectives for this meeting. The first objective is to discuss the tax cap calculation, present two different scenarios for the tax cap calculation, and to discuss the district's debt service fund and our debt service. So the district's budget is funded by a variety of revenue sources. This pie chart of the 21-22 revenue budget gives a breakout of each of the different components. As you can see, real property taxes represent 79% of the district's revenue source to fund the budget. Other income, such as interest and earnings and other miscellaneous revenue, represents 1%, CD represents 17%, and fund balance and reserves represents 3%. So the tax levy calculation, this is the most important part of the budget. It drives the budget process. Before I get into the tax cap calculation, the governor put out her executive proposal on state aid this past week. So I just wanted to give a brief snapshot. This is the first round. These numbers are subject to change. I'm sure everybody read the newspaper this week that districts are getting large increases in aid. We were originally slated to get around $60,000. This proposal has us receiving a $494,000 increase. So a 3% increase in foundation aid, and an overall increase of 4.95%, which is the news. So what is the tax cap and the calculation? On January 1st, 2012, a law went into effect, and it limits the amount of property taxes levied by local governments and school districts, the annual growth of the property taxes, to 2% or the rate of inflation, whichever is less. It's sort of a misnomer. Everybody thinks 2%, 2%, but there are a lot of components that go into this calculation. So I just wanted to briefly discuss the four major components that you see as we go through the calculation. One of them is payments in lieu of taxes. The district has one property, the Argyle Theater, that they don't pay real property taxes. We get a payment in lieu of tax. A tax-based growth factor, that's a number that you'll see go through the calculation. That comes from the Office of Real Property Tax Services from New York State. That's not calculated by the district. It's a growth factor. It's the percentage by which the full value of the taxable real property in the school district changes from year to year. The third component in the calculation is the capital exclusion. There are certain expenditures from the district that are excluded from the tax cap, mainly capital expenditures, i.e. principal and interest on bonds, and that is reduced by building aid to come up with your exclusion or any other source that reduces your debt payment. And the last calculation is the one that everybody is familiar with. This is the allowable growth factor. That comes from the New York State Office of the State Controller. And this year, that number is 2%. This is scenario number one that I'm presenting tonight. This is the tax cap calculation from the state. This is the calculation. It gives us our allowable tax levy increase. When you start the calculation, you always start off with the prior year levy, which is the year that we're in now, the 21-22 tax levy. As you go down the calculation, you first multiply that number by the tax-based growth factor, which I discussed. Then your real property taxes, your pilots, get added into that number, the number from the last year, because last year it was deducted from your levy, so now we're adding it back. Also, before you apply the growth factor, you have to consider the prior year's capital spending. So for the 21-22 calculation, we had a add back to our tax gap of $2,752,282 that gets deducted this year. That represents $4,081,710 in principal and interest on long-term debt, reduced by building aid of $1,429,428. That gets us down to $42,129,70. Here's where you apply the growth factor. This is where the 2% comes in. So you multiply that number by 2%, and you get a tax levy limit before you consider the current year capital expenditures of $42,971,651. Now we take out our estimate for 22-23 payments in lieu of taxes from this year. And that's about $28,000. That's based on conversations with the town on what that's anticipated to be. Now we're allowed to add back our capital expenditures for the current year, for 2023. We have $2,931,972 in bond principal and interest payments that are scheduled to be paid in 2023. That amount is reduced by the estimated building aid of $1,341,917, which is an estimate that came out yesterday. That's subject to change. So we're allowed to add back $1,590,055. That amount is excluded from the cap. There's also BOCES capital expenditures are along the same line. BOCES capital charge is reduced by BOCES aid of $25,524. The end result is we have a property tax levy cap of $44,559,230. That is an increase of $86,724. So it's not the 2% that everybody's talking about. This is 0.2%. It is 1/5 of 1%. That's the calculation for 2023. I just wanted to go over why the cap is that low rather than 2%. And it has to do with the capital exclusion that I discussed and debt that is maturing in the 21-22 school year. In the current fiscal year, the district is going to make the final payment on the 2011 refundable loan. This is positive for the district in that we're paying off this debt, but it does affect your tax cap calculation going forward because it was excluded from the cap previously. So now it's not there to be excluded anymore. So this table shows that in 21-22, we had total debt payments of $4,181,710. In 22-23, that goes down to $2,931,972. Both of those are reduced by building aid, $1,429,428 in the 21-22 year, and $1,341,917 in 22-23 school year. There's a BOCES capital expense exclusion in 22-23 that we're allowed to add back. So if you compare the two side by side, in 21-22, $2,752,282 is an exclusion from the cap, and 2223, $1,615,579 is excluded from the cap. This scenario that I want to discuss, I'll leave this letter for a minute. This is the exact same calculation with one change. And I'll discuss that change on the next slide, and we'll go back to it. I just want to talk about the debt service fund. At June 30th, 2021, the financial statements reported $787,599 in the debt service fund in the district. This money is the amount of debt that is going to be paid off in 2030 and 2032. I know that sounds a long way off, but we're already in 2023. It's not that far off. This money came from unexpended balances of previous bond projects that came in under budget. It came from interest in earnings by investing in those bond proceeds and from premiums and accrued interest on long-term borrowings. We must utilize these funds to pay off debt, principal, and interest on the bond before those bonds mature. We're required to do that. That's what we're choosing for. So that's 2017-32. We're recommending that using a small portion of accumulated funds this year, the budget would include an operating transfer into that fund rather than real property taxes. And the tax levy would be a 0% increase from last year to this year. There's a few reasons why I'm recommending this. It's very beneficial to the district in the long run and helps in long-term financial planning. There's a flexibility in the amount of money that you can use every year, but the goal is to keep it stable. So utilizing a small amount, I'm recommending $85,000 a year, limits the impact on your tax gap because this amount reduces your exclusion. So if you wait to use it, which I'll show you in the next couple of slides, it could have a more negative effect in the future. The tax cap is dependent on external factors. This year it's 2%. I think it's the perfect opportunity to use some this year. Next year we might not have a 2%. We might have a 1.2 or 1.3, we'll see about here. So utilizing a small amount each year is more manageable and there's no major, it would reduce the risk of any major impact on COBRA. So I want to show you, these are two tables that demonstrate the impact of not using this money and waiting to use it for a couple of years. So I know we're at that $85,000 number, but this just is an even amount over the next 10 years. This amount is, you can use as little or as much as you want. But say we start using it this year and we use $79,000. If we decide not to use it this year and we wait till next year, that number jumps up to $88,000. On the next page, if we went 3 years down the road, it's $99,000, and then it jumps up to $115,000. That's a direct hit to your tax levy, so it just makes sense to smooth out the usage, and then we'll be on track to use it before the bonds mature or when they mature. So if we go back to that page, on a calculation, you see the only difference is circled down there in the corner. That's using the debt service fund to offset your exclusion in the amount of $86,724, which gets us down to a 0% tax rate. So, in summary, we're presenting two different considerations here tonight. From the scenario one, tax cap is the calculation for the 2022-23 year, and it results in a 0.2 allowable increase in the levy, or 0.1%. Or alternatively, utilizing scenario two, where the budget would include $86,724 in revenue from the debt service fund, which resulted in a 0% increase in the tax levy. I know it's a lot of information. Are there any questions?
Okay, so first we'll take questions from board trustees on budget. As Ms. Linetta showed you this evening, there are two scenarios. The traditional tax levy cap formulation, which is 1/5 of 1% levy to levy. The second one is a 0% levy to levy, which utilizes some of that debt fund. So that is a decision that the board would have to eventually make. If you want to talk about it tonight, if you have questions. We were pretty lucky so far with the state aid that we received. I gave you this evening the NISBA executive budget analysis. You can read at your leisure, but it really does a nice job at summarizing all of the aids that we are set to receive. Keep in mind, this is the first run of aid that we just got. This will only go up if it goes up. But one of the things that we did notice is that it continues with year two of foundation aid phasing for districts. So basically, it's pretty much saying that all districts will receive at least 3% of an increase in foundation aid, which we did. It also preserves UPK funding, which is great news for Babylon. And it also preserves after-school programming. So this is quite an extensive document. It might take you about 20, 25 minutes to read, but it's a very, very good summary. So with our state aid that came in, we're actually very, very pleased at those numbers initially.
Okay. Yes, I know in the past Dr. Daly had said things about how this year's increase would affect next year's increase. So if we do a 0% increase for the next school year, will that negatively impact us in terms of what we're able to raise the tax levy to in the future?
The reason we're recommending this year is because our tax increase is so small. Once you get that number into the tax cap calculation, when we do next year's tax cap calculation, that number is going to be coming out, and then we're adding in another one. So then it smooths out. So year one is when we see the biggest impact, and then going forward, it's just depending on how much of a percentage we get from the state. But this will affect it going forward, because once you get that in year one, it's kind of like we saw with the debt payments, where, okay, we had $4 million 1 year, $4 million another year, and $80 million kind of. So now we're going to put at $86,000 in, like we're reducing by $86,000, that gets added back next year, and then what? So it's year one. So prudent to use $85,000 this year versus waiting 3 or 4 years and using $100,000 when it could be a 1% increase.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Do we anticipate the state aid will be flat to 24, or we just don't know that answer yet, given that the state aid has increased for all schools across the state?
From what I'm reading in the governor's, like, in all of the newspaper articles, that they're talking about the state aid watch with money for the next couple of years. Our increase compared to many other districts is not very large. It's more than we anticipated, because it was going to be relatively flat. It was going to be $60,000. Around. And now, so this is a welcome increase. It's hard to predict what's going to happen next year, but it's not going to be anywhere near what a lot of the other districts are getting.
And had we not gotten state aid for 22, what would the tax levy be for this year?
It would still be either 0% or a point, because the state aid is part of your revenue budget, but the tax cap doesn't take that into account. But the tax cap limits how much you can raise from your taxpayers. And then you use that and state aid and all the other revenue to find out how much your budget can actually be and fund balance. So it's a combination of those three, but the tax cap is the tax cap, and that's what we're allowed to raise. So whether we get the $86,000 from real property taxes or debt service, that just it is what it is what it is. I hate that saying, but it's we're taxed. Yeah. Did I answer the question? I'm not sure if I answered.
Yeah, I'm just trying to understand what we're going to have you not gotten the state aid with the tax levy. What it sounds like it wouldn't because we're using the balance sheet.
Correct.
But I'm curious to know how we're going to spend that aid from the
Well, we're in the budget, we're starting the budget development process. We're going to be meeting with all the administrators, Mrs. Rosny, myself, the next week. They've submitted their budget request, and we go through, we sit with each area, and we look at the overall picture. We have, I know ERS is going down, but TRS is going up, so health insurance always goes up. So you have to look at all those different pies and come up with, okay, where are we at with the revenue side, and where are we at with the expenditure side? And that's going to be a process that we do over the next couple of months. So the tax cap is a tax cap. So I know it seems like okay, we're allowed $89,000 more, but we also have the debt service money. So it's all dependent on when the board wants to use that money. It's gonna have to be used over the next 8 to 10 years. It sneaks up on you. We're in 1 year, we're working on the net, like before you know we're in 2024. So I just wanted to bring it out there as an alternate scenario, and obviously the board can make that decision.
Any other questions? Okay, so I guess we'll open
it up if anyone has a question. Budget over.
Good evening, everybody. Can you hear me?
No, not really.
Not really. Okay. I was having an audio issue before. Can you hear me now?
You might have to mute yourself.
I am unmuted. Hang on a second. Hang on. Can you hear me now?
It's just very faint, so.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Still very faint?
If you can hear
okay. Good evening, Mrs. Lynetta. Thank you for your presentation. I know this is your first one at our school.
Thank you.
Can I just, maybe I missed it in the, on the cut, the exemptions line, the bonds, we dropped from 2.7 million last year to 1.5. That's because we paid off that significant piece.
Yes, that is in the 21-22 year. We'll be paying off the 2011 refining bond. So that payment is $1,250,000 that we no longer will be budgeting for next year.
Got it. So that is really, that difference is really what's dropping our allowable increase, because without that subtraction to the cap, there is no other money there to adjust to the cap like we used to have in previous years.
Correct.
Okay. So the choice that the board has is a difference of 0.002 or zero?
Yes.
I mean, it sounds like a pretty easy decision. I know what Mrs. Noesi was mentioning about how Dr. Daly would always talk about if you don't take your increases, then it's going to affect future. Of course it would affect future, because if you can only increase 2% and you didn't increase anything the prior year, then you're only increasing 2% of zero. If you increased 0.05% this year, then next year you would have a 2% increase of 0.05. So that is what I believe Mrs. Noesi was asking, and I understand that. I just wanted to make sure I was clear as to why there was such a small amount of increase.
Yeah, that's correct. It's like you said, yeah, that if we were to keep the tax cap at 0.002, that 85,600 would become part of our levy next year, the base, which would then apply. And Dr. Daly is correct in saying that But we do have to use this money over the next 8 years. So in a year where you have a 2% versus a year where you may have a 1%, it just it like streams it out over 8 years versus a big hit.
So can I just ask a question? This amount that you're proposing, this $86,000 over the next 10 years, could that have been something that was written in previous years? And then it would have been just a smaller amount to take away? Or is this your first year?
No, it's pretty recent because the biggest bulk of this money comes from like the 2017 bond.
Okay.
We got a premium on that bond. I didn't have the income. So that came in, and that was about $660,000 of the total. So it's only been in the last few years that we've accumulated this money. So
right.
Really before that. So we have to use it going forward. It was a premium that was issued on the bond issue.
Right. In Dr. Daly's presentations in the past, he's always given us a tax cap era comparison from basically 2012 on. I would like to see, if possible, you can add a piece to that would show us how this debt line in the cap calculation affects those, because obviously this is the smallest tax levy increase we have ever had in the last 8 years that I'm looking at. The last time the smallest we had was 0.94. And then in 2012, we had 0.38. So it would be great to see how that debt number was affecting versus other things. I'm not sure. I mean, I would love to chat more about it, but I also would like to suggest that for future meetings, again, this would be very helpful if those of us on the call had a copy of the draft presentation. I know sometimes it can be hard to get these things in advance, but this is oftentimes difficult to do without these numbers in front of us and we're just looking at the screen. So our questions can be very last minute compiled.
Yeah, I understand. We uploaded this to the website this afternoon. It was up there as soon as we could get it up there because we had information coming in last minute. So it's up on the website, and we plan to do that.
Oh, I see it now. I see it. I was looking at the one on there from the previous year. The new one is down at the bottom. Okay, I see it now. Thank you very much.
No problem.
Okay, that's all.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Mrs.
Fazio, are
we going to mention
it? Okay, being that no other questions, thank you very much, Mrs. Campagna, for those questions. Thank you, Ms. Linetta, for that presentation. The board has a decision to make, scenario one, scenario two. Again, this is the draft levy calculation. It doesn't change much, though. All right, just so you know. But thank you very much for that presentation. Our next presentation will be on the 14th, and I want the board and Ms. Linetta to go into reserves as well as the fiscal stress monitoring report that we got just late last week, which was excellent. So we'll be going a little into that and moving into then the department budgets as we do every year. Okay? All right. So that is budget. The board also received this evening the draft calendar for the 2022-2023 school year. That is a draft form. We don't release that yet until an official board approval, but I just want the board to know that that was given to all of the unit heads today, all right, in the email, and they work with their boards to give us feedback. Again, the board doesn't have to accept the feedback, but we always have taken feedback from our clerical, our custodial, our teachers, and our administrative units regarding, you know, a draft calendar. And we weave that feedback into that final draft that we eventually end up adopting, okay? So I wanted to talk about that. The last thing I want to talk about are the mask mandates. There was notice tonight that you probably heard about, that the Supreme Court of Nassau County found the wearing of masks unconstitutional. I will just tell you, all districts are in a holding pattern right now as we await further state guidance. We're hearing that the governor's office is coming down, so we don't know what's really going on, but the minute we do find out, we will definitely let everybody know, okay? So I think every district's in the same holding pattern right now, but I just wanted to make that statement.
Okay, our next regular business meeting is Monday, February 14th at 7:30, and we have another work study coming up on February 28th, also at 7:30. May I have a motion to adjourn?
Why don't we first talk about the superintendent? I think it's important to talk about the choices. So tonight we're going to talk about the choices.
Yeah, let's finish up the council, but... I mean, we can, so our choices, and I figure we also have to have this conversation on the 14th since, you know, not many people here. Our choices are interim, launching a search, or hiring from bid. Okay, so I don't know if anybody has any thoughts that you'd like to share what you're thinking.
My initial thoughts are perhaps an interim, just because right now the investigations are in growing. I think it might be difficult to open up for anyone to kind of step in and take it when they're not sure what's going to be happening there. In interim, we've done that in the past. We've had Dr. Bailey was an interim before, Joe Zakis, and that seemed to work well just to kind of keep things righted and usually they're very experienced, they can help our newer employees who have just been hired this past year, you know, make sure that they get their feet on the ground before we bring someone else new in. So I would think that might be the best way at this point in my mind.
And I have similar thoughts also, just so we have time. It's, you know, we've been through this, we've heard some of us, and it's a pretty cumbersome process. So, you know, if we are going over the search, we have to get search companies, and there's something we need to update all the apps, I think, or something.
Community feedback.
You know, so time is definitely running short. And as you said, it's still something up in the air. So, you know, that might affect the qualities we are looking for based on what feedback we ultimately receive from some of these reports. Anyone else?
Yeah, I agree with the interim, but also I think we need to weigh our options on finding someone. I mean, if there are people willing to come and look for a permanent position here, we may want to entertain and interview. You know, and then if we're not finding quality or whatever, we may want to just look into an interim. And I think the reports from the AG will really determine. Because if they don't come till after we have a new superintendent, that may turn something. That's all.
Yeah, I'm entirely noticed. I agree with all points here. I think that initially I had hoped to look into a permanent person to come in. I'm not in favor of hiring a search firm. I feel like the monies can be utilized elsewhere. I think having discussed this, listening to the points here, interim is probably the best course at this moment. But to Nick's point, I would like to see what candidates do come, and if there's somebody that's willing to take on the position permanently and they fit our criteria, we should consider that too.
Okay, so I mean, at this point, I'll also, you know, reach out to council and see exactly how we, you know, get the ball rolling on all fronts and get some advice, and then we can further discuss. Okay, so may I have a motion to adjourn?
Mrs.
Dur, seconded by Mrs. Nowesi. All in favor? Passes unanimously. Have a good evening, everyone.